SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Monday, the 3rd of June 2024. The Australian share market did rise today by 0.77%. We'll have all the details with Elise Mackay from Pendle Group. But first to property, where CoreLogic says national house prices rose by 0.8% in May on average, which is the biggest monthly gain since October. Where to now? For more, I spoke with Tim Lawless, the Research Director at CoreLogic. Tim, how would you describe the pace of home value growth at the moment?
Well, I think there's a few words, Ricardo. Persistent. This is the 16th month of growth we've seen in our national index, but also diverse. Like, we're seeing three cities continue to rise at more than 1% month on month, while other markets like Hobart and Darwin are actually falling over the month. So there's a real tapestry of performance here once you drill down below the headline numbers.
Yeah, so let's go into more detail, though. Medium-sized capitals are leading the pace of growth. Can you go into who and why? Because I understand there's a new capital as one of the better performers.
Well, absolutely. We're seeing Perth housing values the strongest, and that's been the case for some time now. The market there was up 2% just in the month alone, or in dollar terms. That's about a $14,000 increase in housing values across Perth. But Adelaide and Brisbane also consistently strong, still seeing growth of more than 1% month on month. In fact, that growth rate in Brisbane has been enough to propel it up to the second most expensive capital city. So it just overtook Canberra in terms of a median dwelling value. It overtook Melbourne in December last year. So we now have Brisbane. We now have Brisbane second in position in terms of the median dwelling value, just after Sydney. And Sydney, by the way, has also posted a nominal recovery from its fairly short and sharp downturn between January 22 and January 23.
Are there any types of homes performing better than others?
Well, we are seeing apartments starting to show a stronger performance than houses across most of the capital cities. Sydney's the exception here for some reason. Even though it's a very unaffordable market, we're still seeing house values rising faster than units. But most regions now really do seem to be seeing that affordability advantage of the unit sector, as well as very low supply levels, resulting in an outperformance in value growth. And similarly, we're also seeing the lower quartile of the market. So the lowest 25% of values really does seem to be growing the fastest in value. And I think this is a real reflection of demand just being deflected towards that middle to lower end of the marketplace where people can actually get finance and afford to buy.
What do you think then all of this means for future price growth?
Well, we're not seeing too much evidence of a slowdown just yet, Ricardo. In fact, some markets are even accelerating into this growth phase. We're looking for a supply response, of course. There's nothing pointing towards more stock coming into the marketplace or an elevated level of supply. So I think the reality is, we're expecting prices to rise further from here until we start to see more stock coming into the market.
So what does that all mean for rents then?
Well, rentals and values are kind of separated in some sense, but we are seeing a slowdown in rental growth. Last month, national rents were up 0.7%. A few months ago, rents were rising at about 1% month on month. But that is still a fairly rapid rate of rental growth, and we are still seeing rental affordability a real challenge in the marketplace. It does look like unit rental growth is slowing down a little bit now, and that probably lines up with a peak in net overseas migration, which was in March of last year. But house rents do seem to be reaccelerating now, and maybe that's a sign of more renters looking towards the outer fringes of the rental market, trying to maximize the size of their tenancies as well to spread their rental costs across a broader group of people.
That's Tim Lawless there from CoreLogic. The Australian share market has started the week on a positive note. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.8% to 7,761. It had more to do with some good news out of the US over the weekend. For that and more, I spoke with Elise Mackay from Pendle Group.
The market today has been driven by the PCE data that was released on Friday over in the US. And by PCE, this is the personal consumption expenditure data, and it's the Fed's best read on inflation. Whilst the data itself was in line with expectations, importantly, we saw some of the data on services declining. So whilst we were run rating on services inflation, which has been very sticky in the 5% plus range in the first quarter, that's now come down to about 3.2% on an annualized basis. So the market took that very positively. In the US, 85% of all names were up, 50% of all names were up at least 1.5%. And we've seen that flow through to Australia with those cyclicals like energy, financials, and then also some of the more rate sensitive names like REITs being supported.
We saw the minimum wage decision come in today, 3.75% from the Fair Work Commission. Has there been any implication or any reaction from the markets? And what do you think it means for inflation or interest rates?
Yeah, the data was actually surprisingly below expectations. So market was looking for a range of 3.75% to 4.5%, and it came in at 3.75%. And this is positive because the Fair Work Commission has taken into account not only the current rate of inflation, but also things like the superannuation guarantee, which is going up 0.5% to 11.5%. And also the benefits that that we're going to feel from lower tax, so lower tax rates moving forward. So this is important because this impacts about 20% of our employees across Australia. And whilst you'll still see real wage growth, it is actually not going to be as strong as we saw in the last year, which is better for services inflation. So hopefully services inflation will continue to moderate, which should mean the RBA will be able to cut by the end of the year. It's also been very positive in the because last week some of the CPI data was a bit stronger than what we expected, and we were thinking that we could end up with the RBA actually raising again, but the data today effectively takes that off the table.
Okay. Speaking of data, some numbers out of China today showing that manufacturing activity grew at the fastest pace in about 2 years. I'm just curious to get your take on the mood of China at the moment.
Yeah, China is always a pretty complicated market, but at this point in time, there's a couple of key drivers. So firstly, on the manufacturing and export side of the economy, that's really doing pretty well, and it's supporting the economy in China. Secondly, you have the property market, and this is under significant pressure. Importantly, we did see that some policy changes were introduced about a week or two ago, which should support or address the issues they've had with too much inventory in China's property market. Thirdly, consumption stable, which is good news. And then finally, there's a lot of questions that are now emerging about what will the relationship between US and China look like coming out of the US election. So that's a bit of a question on people's mind. But when you put that all together, China is tracking in line with its real GDP forecast for about 5% this year.
I know locally it's a fairly quiet day on the markets, but is there any company news you're keeping an eye on?
Yeah, it's all happening in small caps world today. So we've got a couple of key items that have occurred. So on APM, which is based out of Perth, a services business. They've had a final, what looks to be the final takeover offer from a key shareholder and private equity player, Madison Dearborn. So that's up 10% on the back of that news. Lovisa is losing their highly regarded CEO, and they've appointed someone from Smiggle, the Smiggle CEO, to take over. So that stock's down about 9% on that news. And then we've got Synlait, which is flat on news that it, or an update around its deleveraging program. So it's taking a loan out from its biggest shareholder, Bright Group, based out of China. And it's looking to waive its covenants or get covenant relief from its banks to provide it with some more time to address some of its balance sheet issues in light of weakening financial performance.
And just finally, any opportunities for investors at the moment?
Yeah, so staying on the China theme, and also when I think about what sort of business or stocks that I like, I like really well-run businesses, and the time to buy them is when cyclical headwinds are turning to tailwinds. So a stock that is interesting in that dynamic is A2 Milk. A2 Milk has had a significant headwind in China with the birth rate deteriorating through COVID. But recent data, it looks like that birth rate should recover through 2024 and 2025 by about 5 to 10%. So that is turning into a positive headwind for A2. And you can see that in some leading indicators like the marriage rate and then demand for prenatal vitamins, for example. On the execution side, they've just executed incredibly well. And you can see that across a number of different measures. So firstly, their brand health with consumers is strong. Their inventory on the shelf in China is very fresh, showing that they're managing their supply chain very well. And finally, they're gaining market share, particularly across the new babies. So those babies who are drinking only stage one and stage two today, but in 12 months' time would be drinking the much higher volume stage three.
So Lise Mackay, their portfolio manager at Pendal Group.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Some people take the straight path in life, but at Arizona State University, we respect your twists and turns. They make our online students more driven to excel in their professional lives. That's why our personalized suite of services empowers you with innovative resources and staff that sticks with you.
Make your next turn with one of our 300-plus programs at ASU, number one in innovation for 9 consecutive years.
Visit us at asuonline.asu.edu to learn more.